I'm going to talk about, we're going to continue in the parable of the seed, which we started last week. Basically, I'll do a real quick summing up of what happened. We talked about Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 29, or 1 to 20, and then 26 to 29. Basically, we talked about how Jesus talks about how there's the seeds that are scattered on the soil. There's different types of soil. There's the path. There's the soil with the rocks in it. There's the soil with weeds in it. And then there's the good soil. And we kind of just broke down and analyzed each soil type. So the soil that was hard, that was a path, that's a hard heart. The seed doesn't even enter because you've been like pre-hardened to even receiving, you know, love or life or whatever it is that Jesus is trying to plant in your heart. The soil with the rocks, that's where the root of the seed really has nowhere to go. There's soil, the seed enters it, but because there's no depth to it, the seed never grabs. So as soon as the sun comes out and it gets a little hot, because there's no depth of root, the seed dies, or the plant dies. The weeds, that was pretty straightforward. That had to do with basically getting distracted, things that grow up alongside the seed of life that's been planted in you that try to choke that thing out. Whether it's entertainment, being addicted to entertainment, whether it's fear of other people's opinions. Actually, I was talking to RJ after last week, and he pointed out, he noticed the big picture of it all. Everything that affects the seed in your life has to do with other people. Everything. Whether it's the rocks Jesus mentions or the weeds or the path. It has to do with how other people influence your life. So that's something to really take into account as we go on to the next portion of scripture. But we kind of brushed through all that. And actually, this is really fun because I was going to skip. We're in Mark chapter 4. We went from 1 to 20, and I was going to skip verses 21 to 25 because I didn't get how they applied. Now, scripture was not just put together in this weird way. It wasn't just somebody just started writing. People who are writers, there's a plan, there's a theory, there's a program, there's a structure to what they're building, right? If you're going to be a good writer, a paragraph has to have its own idea, and you have to usually bring that from start to completion within that paragraph. If you start switching between different ideas in the paragraph, your editor's going to be like, this is really bad. You need to put a chapter break here. You need to put a paragraph, start another sentence or blah, 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 right? So when we're reading the Bible, oftentimes there are sections of thought. Like Jesus, a classic example is the Sermon on the Mount. He's on the Mount. He's giving this sermon. We read it from beginning to end. We can take little snippets out here and there, but it's a good idea to take a step back and look at the whole thing so you kind of understand what's going on, the big picture, what's the theme of this chunk of scripture. And for chapter 4, it's pretty easy, right? There's the seeds in the sower. He's scattering it on the different types of soil. Then we go to verse 26. He says it's like a seed in the ground. Then in verse 30, it's a mustard seed. It's super easy. But then all of a sudden in 21, verse 21 in chapter 4, he throws in this, and he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. And then he continues, and he said to them, pay attention, this is verse 24, to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So we have this section, and there's this idea being portrayed. And there's seed, 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 seed. Lamp, measure. And I was going to skip it, because I was like, I don't know. I don't know how this completes the thought. I don't know how this flows with it. But, excuse me, I was choking on my own spit there for a second. My mustache gets in my mouth, and then I go like, it's a blessing and a curse, man. I was going to skip it because I didn't understand. I could have obviously made sense of it, but how it related to the whole picture, I didn't understand. But then I was doing some studying yesterday, and it all of a sudden just started clicking. And I think I have an idea. At least I have an understanding of what makes sense to me. So we're going to talk about that today too. But that's kind of it. So we're going to get into it. The parable of the lamp. This is verse 21 to 23. I just read it. I'll read it again just so we're all caught up. And I'm going to break it down a little bit for you. Remember, we're talking about hearts. We didn't get into what the definition of a heart is necessarily. That's a big subject. I would basically break it down as saying it has a lot to do with the intentions you have, the why behind your life, like why you do the things you do. It has to do with your thoughts, your motives, your emotions that flow from that, and why you do the things that you do, the motivating factor behind that. Summing it up, that's not obviously a complete picture, but when a word is spoken, it talks about the sower sowing words. So the word of God comes into your life, depending on where your heart is at, guys, because the seed is the same seed. It's the same seed every time. It's the word of God. It doesn't change. It's Jesus, right? The message of the gospel. The seed hits soil. Soil, every heart is made to grow what's planted, no matter what. It's the same seed. The soil is going to do what soil does. The difference in how it manifests is the condition of the soil. Has nothing to do with the word. The seed has nothing to do with it just being soil. It's what else is in the soil. Right? That's how it plays out in real life. Right? You take a seed, you put it in soil, it'll grow. But who's ever had a garden that you've had to put some manure in because it was basically dead? There was no nutrients in there. Seeds are going to break in soil and the soil will produce, but the condition of the soil determines the how healthy the plant is, if the plant grows at all, right? But seeds do what seeds do. Soil does what soil does. God's word is the same for every person. The gospel is the same. How it enters your heart, it's the same. How it grows, gonna be different. So, as we go forward, we're going to hit, that's just the context, okay? So, and he said to them, is a lamp brought in, this is verse 21, to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? Good question. Obviously, you light a lamp, it's to light the room, right? How ridiculous would it be if I turned on a lamp and just like took it and put it under Wanda's chair? Just put it behind here. It's all dark in here. Lit a candle, put it in the closet. That's really weird, right? That makes zero sense. You would never do it. The purpose of a candle, the purpose of light, is to light a room. And then he compares it. He's like, for nothing is hidden to be made nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. I had to think about that. Because that's weird. You wouldn't light a candle and put it under a basket. Everything that's hidden comes to light. Wait, what? How do those two play together? And how does that relate to the theme of seeds and growing and soil and planting that's going on here? And so I kind of took a step back and was just looking at it. And Jesus is making the comparison, right? I had to ask the question, what is truly hidden? Nothing is hidden that does not come to light. Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. What is truly hidden? The seed when it gets under the ground. The thoughts and intentions of your heart. We have this word in our culture called trust. Why do we have that word? Because you do not know the secrets of other people's hearts. So you have to trust them. Because there's no way you can possibly know for sure. You don't know what's underneath the soil. You're trusting, right? A culture, a nation is built on trust. We have common core values. We trust that in other people. If it's violated, we lose trust. Because we see that the seed that manifested, right? We have to trust certain things. So I was asking God, I'm like, God, okay. So we have a candle that you don't put under a table when you light it. And then we have things that are not made manifest. Or things that are hidden will be made manifest. Nothing secret that won't be made known. And I used to read this and think that God was going to go and tell everybody all my dark secrets. All of my screw-ups, all of my failures. And it was kind of like, oh man, this is like a threat. You know, it's kind of like a threat from scripture. You better not do anything in secret, because even that's going to be blurted from the mountaintops. You know? I've heard this before in different Christian circles, just like, you know, at the end of it all, we're all going to be in heaven, and God's going to have this big screen, and he's going to play your whole life, and everybody's going to see all the gross things you did. And it's like, well, I don't want to do any gross things. And then the only reason you're not doing things is because you don't want other people to know, but your heart's still the same. So nothing's different. Your soil's still gross. Right? But that's not what he's saying here. Thank God. From my understanding, what I pulled from this, guys, this is a ridiculous statement. No one lights a candle to put it under a chair. Nobody does that. It's just as ridiculous to think that you can have thoughts and intentions and then it's not going to manifest in your life in some way. Does that make sense? It's ridiculous to turn on a lamp and put it in the closet. It's ridiculous to think that your motives and your heart and your thoughts and the stuff that's hidden that goes on is not going to manifest in some way. Who knows that you can carry bitterness around like crazy and it'll manifest in sickness? Who knows you can have like this generous heart, and guess what it's going to manifest in? Giving. It's just going to. That's the seed. It's a good soil. It's going to produce. You cannot have thoughts and intentions and motives that do not directly affect your life. Jesus says that's ridiculous to think that you can have stuff going on in your head and in your heart that's not going to manifest in your life and affect your relationships. That's just as ridiculous as lighting a candle and putting it in a closet. Does that make sense? And having to do with the whole section here that we're talking about, it really, you know, the seed is hidden in the soil, and what's hidden will be made manifest. Okay? Then he goes on and he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said in verse 24, to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is another one that just kind of seems out of context, because it has, on the surface, it has nothing to do with seeds. It has nothing to do with soil. It's not following the theme. However, where did it go? Here we go. I think essentially, just to put it in our terms, he's basically saying what you feed grows. What you do comes back to you. Pay attention. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Are you scattering seeds of mercy? Because you're going to get mercy plants, and they're going to grow, and they're going to produce seeds. Are you not scattering bitterness? You're not going to have bitterness plants in your heart, man. That's great news. What you plant, and I'm turning this just so it relates to the bigger picture of Mark chapter 4, which is seeds. It just makes it easier for me to understand what he's saying, because that's the context of it, right? What measure you use, what you dish out, is what will be dished to you. And what you don't dish out won't be dished to you. And if you're not sowing or doing anything, there's no growth. There's nothing. Nothing comes from that. You can't have things if you're not sowing, right? So then you'll use up the seed you do have. So even what you have, you'll lose because you have nothing to replace it, right? So what you have, if you're sowing mercy, if you're sowing grace, and what I mean by sowing mercy and sowing grace is like you're making intentional decisions to love on other people, to be gracious, to forgive, to show mercy when you could have shown hatred, to show generosity when you could have been stingy, to do all these kind of things, right? If you sow that stuff, keeping this in mind with the bigger picture, right, you will reap those things because that's what you planted in your field. And there's even an illusion here that it'll come to you in a way, outside of your own heart. You know that, like, people who are incredibly, like, I don't know, we've all worked with a bunch of people, right? The people who are super humble and forgiving and, like, really bless you at work. You ever see those guys make a mistake? They make a mistake. Are you like, man, you're an idiot. You're fired out. No, you're like, because this person's, you're not even thinking this, but they're so humble and they're so merciful and they're so forgiving for when you've made mistakes, they screw up, you're like, oh man, don't worry about it. He's harvesting mercy from your field because of the mercy he's planted in his own, right? And that doesn't mean that everyone's going to be nice to you all the time and that everything's going to work out just because you're a really nice guy, okay? But what it's saying is that what you use in your life, what you dish out, the way you treat other people, what you plant in your own heart, the thoughts you think about, the intentions you motivate yourself by are what is going to produce largely in your life. And it's kind of unfair, it seems, in a way, because the victim mindset really likes feeling bad for itself. And years ago, I was feeling pretty bad for myself. It was like seven or 8 years ago, I was feeling pretty bad for myself. And I was in my room, and I was having a nice little pity party. Nobody else was invited. And I remember hearing God say to me, Daniel, this is really hard, and it's probably going to get harder. What are you going to do? That's not a very nice thing to say to somebody who's caught up in a victim mindset. Because I'm like, well, you should get me out of this. He's like, who you are today is probably a culmination of the last 5 years of what you've been thinking, doing, and acting out. So you need to change. And he did it in such an amazing fatherly way that just came in truth. And there was no condemnation. He was being real, and I needed that. And so it was like, you know what, man, yeah, life's hard. Things are going to get harder. Things could get worse. Maybe based on nothing inside of myself. But stuff happens in life, right? I have to change. I'm the one who has to gain peace. I'm the one who has to operate in joy. I'm the one. I can't keep expecting my circumstances to change. But you know what? When you start growing that stuff, your circumstances do change. Because he says, the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. So there's this beautiful harmony going on in scripture here. Where this whole chapter, he's basically talking about how the human heart operates, how to receive from the kingdom of God and see it manifest in your life. Isn't that awesome? Like, he's basically telling us how to manifest kingdom in our life. And it's not flashy. It's not super amazing and whoop-de-hollery-doo. It's a mustard seed. It's unimpressive. And it comes small. And it's dirty, and there's soil, and there's grit. You're not going to get it all the time, right? He says, don't despise that. First, we'll get into it right next, but. So that's the parable of the measures. The amazing thing here, and this is so cool, guys, because some of us, including myself, we can be like, man, well, I'm just an angry guy. I'm just angry. It's like, I don't know what to do. I feel like I don't have any patience seeds to dish out. Well, first of all, that's a lie because Mr. Seed, Jesus, lives in you. He's got all the seeds you're ever going to need. Christ has been planted in your heart. And what's awesome is that this is all based on baby steps because it doesn't say it matters how much you start with. It doesn't matter how much you start with. It just says if you sow it, you'll reap it. If you measure it out, it'll be measured to you. Doesn't say it matters how much you have or how impressive it is to begin with. You know, sometimes it's like, I've noticed myself before just getting mad at people in traffic. Just like, I wasn't even conscious about it. It was just like, guy zoops in, brakes a little harder than I'd like, less warning. And I started watching myself and I started kind of taking a step back and saying, hey man, like, you're getting pretty mad on the road. And so these tiny things, I started going, this guy would cut me off and I'd be like, you know what? I'm totally fine with that. He owes me nothing. He doesn't have to respect me because he's not giving me my source of peace and joy anyway. So why would I let him take it? God bless that guy, blah, blah, blah. And then I'd get mad at the next four people. Right? But then I'd bless too. The next day. Right? You don't have to start with bags of generosity. You don't have to start with bags of forgiveness. You don't have to start with bags of mercy. You just start with one. And say, God, this is all I got. And as you measure it out, it'll be measured back to you. Isn't that awesome? So then the parable, so I'm really glad we actually got to cover that because that brings so much more depth to what this whole section is talking about. But in verse 26, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. And this one he says, the kingdom of God is as if, right? He very specifically says that here. He sleeps and rises night and day and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself. See, the earth is going to do what the earth does. Your heart is going to grow whatever's in there. It's just going to. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So this parable, your heart was designed by God to produce the seeds that were planted in it. It's just designed to. A lot of the things that have happened in my own life, well, let me see here. After it's sown, we go about our business and the seed starts growing. We don't always know how. Okay? There is mystery involved to this. This isn't even necessarily something you can write out the perfect steps to and just go about your week and say, execute it, execute it, execute it. There's a mysterious work that the Holy Spirit does in your heart. The biggest changes in my life, I can't explain. The biggest experiences I've had that started transforming me, I can't quite put my finger on it. But I can just tell you I'm different. But this is saying a seed was planted. I went to sleep and I rose and that thing started growing and I don't really know how. Okay? There's mystery involved. This isn't a science. And like I said last week, guys, the intimacy that the farmer has with the soil, that's like 90% of this. Right? There's this universal rule that when there's intimacy, seeds are planted and life comes forth. Okay? That's a universal rule. It works in the kingdom of God. It works in the world. When a man and a woman come together, ideally there's intimacy, a seed is planted and life comes forth. A farmer and a field work together. He works the ground with his hands. He puts his blood, sweat, and tears. There's this giving of the farmer. A seed is planted. The earth gives birth to life. That life starts producing, okay? So there's these universal principles, which I mean, calling it a universal principle is kind of like a silly way of putting it, because the kingdom of God is, it's not like that's outside. The kingdom of God is what's reality, okay? So that's just how God designed it to work. That's how God made our hearts to work. Verse 28, the earth produces by itself. First the grain, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. This also speaks of some sort of unknowing, right? The earth produces by itself. It's like you're apart from this process in a lot of ways. Your basic job, from what I'm gathering from this, is just to stay with the farmer and let, you know what's cool? All of this references to seeds and soil and fruit and all this kind of stuff. When Jesus came back from the dead, when he resurrected, a woman saw him. And what was the first thing Jesus was recognized as? It was a mistake. A gardener. Isn't that kind of cool? The first person who sees Jesus after he resurrected mistook him as a gardener. And then we have all this stuff about abiding in the vine and all this stuff about seeds and all this stuff about plants. It's just kind of cool. I don't know if it was intentional, but it's just something I noticed. And through intimacy with the gardener, we keep weeds and rocks and things that kill seeds out of our soil. Verse 29, when the grain is ripe, we put in the sickle because the harvest has come. Okay, this is important because there's a part for you to play to swing that sickle. You know, you can go through all the effort of having beautiful soil and having a seed planted, and that thing can grow up and it can be watered and God's causing the growth and there's this mysterious process. Nature's working for you. There's enough sunshine. There's enough rain. And then the tomatoes come out and then you just look at them. And then you go inside. Right? That's weird, man. There's a time to like, shink, grab the fruit, harvest, put the sickle to it, right? So for example, I'll give you an example from my own life. I think what he's talking about here, it has to do with being prepared and having an expectancy during the growing process. Okay? No one plants a seed and then is like, well, I'm out of here, man. You're like, sweet. You start planting, you buy the amount of jars you think you're gonna need if you're gonna can it. You get all prepared. There's like a faith involved with gardening, right? You put that seed in the ground. You get all the things you want ready. You get the, I don't know, my wife knows more about it than I do, the vinegar, right? Vinegar is involved in canning. The boiling water, the pots. You get all that stuff ready. And then when it's ripe, you swing the sickle and you can get it to work. So personally for me, I had a desire to be bold for the gospel and to be like start going up to people and praying for them, you know? and to get involved with healing and stuff like that. And I watched tons. So for me, that seed was planted. And that seed's in all of us, guys. It's Christ. It's Jesus. He's the seed. His God's will is for Christ to manifest in you. And for everything you do, right? You're intimate with God, and all of the babies you produce look like Jesus. Okay? There's this process that God wants to bring you to that so that everything that you birth in your life looks like Jesus. Right? And so I had this desire. I was scared. I was terrified. I was ill-equipped. I was inexperienced. I didn't have any previous seed scattering experience. I wasn't good at the seeds I'd tried scattering before. Okay? Screwed it up. But I started watching these videos. And you know what? These videos of other guys, other Christians, other men and women of God going out and doing these things. You know what that does to the seeds in your heart? It's called hope. That's why we love testimonies. Because it's like, well, God can do it in that guy. He can do it in me. God can do it in that woman. He can do it in me. We love that stuff. That's hope for the seeds that are in your heart. So it's important to share and glorify God, guys, because it's actually bringing hope and all that stuff to other people. It's not just you, well, bragging about something, you know? It's designed. It's sunlight for other people. So I started watching all these videos. I started imagining myself doing it. I started imagining myself being like going up to somebody and saying hi and how I would break the conversation, how I would break the ice, what I would notice about them, how I would try to get the conversation started. I would imagine myself doing that. I'd picture myself on the streets. I got training. I learned from other guys who were doing it. Here's some tips. Here's some ways to go about it. I got trained. So all of this stuff is preparing. It's taken all the roots of the nasty weeds out of my heart. It's taken some rocks out of the way. The garden's getting tilled. I'm spending time with God. I know this is something he wants because I see it in scripture. I see it in the life of Jesus. I start going after it. I'm still terrified. But there's pressure building up on the inside because my mind is focused on it. This also ties into having a single mind, to being focused on one thing, right? This has to do with the weeds too. Those weeds try to take your focus. You start looking at the weeds. You want to stay single focused. You want to keep looking at Jesus. You want to keep believing what he said. Because everything else is going to, you'll be double minded. You'll be weed, seed, weed, seed, the sun, rock, right? But if you're just like seed, 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 seed. Okay, yep, aware, seed, seed, seed. And you stay intimate with Jesus, that stuff starts coming off you. And it may not come in a super fast Shabbat moment where you hit the floor and flop like a fish. Sometimes it does. That's fun. Right? You wake up different. So I actually started having dreams about going out in the street and talking to people. Extremely real dreams. So finally the pressure built up so much that we went out and did it. The fruit had become ripe. I had been prepared. There had been sunlight. This thing had been growing. The fruit was ripe, man. But I still had to go out and harvest that thing. Take a swipe at it. You can apply that to your life and whatever situation you're in. That's just an example I felt I had that was clear about how I had to step out and put the sickle to it. Because the fruit was ripe. The seed had been grown. Everything was going. I had the understanding. The pressure was building up, the desire. But I had to put that sickle to it. You can't expect not to harvest. You have to swing. It's good. It's what God designed us to do. Okay, wrapping up. I still had to get better at it in obvious ways. Doesn't mean I was an expert. But the seed was produced, and what I had planted, and the seed produced what had been planted and nurtured. The rocks of fear were removed, weeds and distractions were whittled down through relationship with God. And then I went out and put the sickle in. It's almost like building momentum up towards something. I didn't know what was always happening in my heart. I didn't know it was being removed all the time. I didn't know what was being changed. I was watching other people on YouTube. I was reading the stories in the Bible about it. I was imagining myself doing it. And all of this helped to produce the plant that bore its fruit. Remember, the seed was always the same. Seed's always the same. Soil conditions are what determine what happens. You know, you can have a great idea and then you talk to the wrong person and they plant all this fear in your garden. And maybe some of it's legit. Maybe there's some legit concerns where there's wise counsel where you're just like, yeah, okay, that's something to watch out for. But I've had people kill dreams in my life. I've probably killed dreams in other people's life, man, because of where I was at, right? This thing is so real. This is how it works. It's insane. I can't tell that story. There's no time. So I would ask you, what do you want to grow in your life? Because God said he has given the seed. What do you want to grow in your personal life? What do you want to see growing in the life of your family? Now, this isn't just thinking about you. You can build a family culture, right? What do you want to see building in your family culture? What do you want to see grow in your church, in your business, in your friend groups? This isn't just personal. This is the kingdom of God and how it manifests. So the parable of the mustard seed, you know, it's a small seed, it's ugly. You put it in, starts small, but it grows to be the biggest one. I just want to say, guys, that like, this isn't done in a way that's like, well, you have to work. This is work, so you better get down to it. You know, God's not going to give it. No, God gave everything. He gave you the soil. He gave you the seed. He gives the growth. He gives the sunlight. He gives the rains through other people a lot of the time, right? We minister to one another. That's all we're doing is watering. And, you know, Paul talks about some water, summer or sunlight or something like that. And then, but God gives the growth to that thing. So guys, this isn't a works thing. This is like a beautiful way to look at your life and be like, man, I'm the gardener again. I'm the gardener's buddy and he's helping me with my first garden. We get to conquer this thing. We get to look at it. It's not this condemnation. You're free, man. You have weeds. You're forgiven. You got rocks in there. God's not relating to you based on the rocks and weeds in your garden. He's not relating to you based on the content or the condition of the soil. He's relating to you based on Christ. So he's put that seed in there. He's like, all right, man, you've got some weird thoughts about certain things. I think I have this weird relationship with money. And that I think it's like bad in a way. And that's come up to me recently. And so it's like, I feel like God's doing a work in my heart in regards to that, like right now. We're learning stuff about accounting. My wife is predominantly, and she's really good at it, but it's rubbing off on me. We're buying books about finances and what that looks like in the kingdom of God, what that looks like in the secular world. A lot of the same principles apply. A lot of people outside the business, outside of Christianity are using kingdom principles in their businesses and the fruit's growing, right? But I've had this relationship with money that's been poor and that's come to my attention. And so that's changing. And guess what? God's not disappointed in me. He's not mad at me. He doesn't think I'm dumb. I'm his son. He loves me. He's teaching me how to garden. There's no condemnation. There's no guilt. There's no shame. That stuff's washed away, man. And Elaine asked a great, okay, guys, sorry. Elaine asked a great question last week because, and I thought of this as I was studying. She said, well, Isaiah, it says that we have a new heart, right? We have a new heart and a new mind. He says he's going to take away our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, right? He says that. He's going to take it away. So as we wrap up, as I try to wrap up, God's given your heart the capacity to grow the seed he wants to plant in it. He's not going to throw a seed and it's going to bounce out. Your heart is flesh. Its life is being drawn from the Spirit. It's connected to the Spirit. It's the same essence. He says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You have that spirit life, that heart of flesh. It's ready. It's ready to produce. It's a new heart. It's strong. It's good soil, man. You're good soil. You're worth planting into. And Christ planted, God planted Christ in your heart, okay? But we still have this, and like I said, we're not doing an exhaustive study on what a heart is. Because there's three different languages and 5,000 years of opinions. And they may not be using it in the same context. So the question was valid, and I had it too. But I'm not going to break down what Isaiah may have meant about a heart and what Jesus means about a heart right here and what it means to invite Jesus into your heart. And those may all be different aspects of basically God's talking about how he's going to give us the capacity to live like Jesus. And it involves your thinking, and it's not divorced from reality. It's not this weird hokey pokey. You have to go up and you have to shake. You have to fall down twice, two times. And if you don't, and you're not babbling in tongues afterwards, then nothing happened. God's real. He made things alive. He gave you a tongue. He gave you a mind. He gave you a spirit. He gave you a soul. He gave you a body. He works through all those things. He doesn't hate your body. We talked about this once. Your body's not evil, okay? Minds are not evil. God uses all of these things. God uses nature to speak to you, okay? So he's telling us how to have control of our minds again, to have control, to be in the captain's seat of our own destiny. We're not slaves to sin anymore. We talked about that too. I don't know if we fully understand what it looks like to be a slave to sin, because on this side of the cross, sin's dead. We're getting way off topic. Sorry. We could talk for hours. I could talk for hours. Okay. Does that make sense? So that's seeds, guys. It's good news. It's awesome. It's freedom. There's even talk about the enemy comes and sows seeds, right? The enemy can come and sow seeds in your life. God's given us the capacity to have this new heart that knows him, that knows his ways. His ways are written on our heart. The seeds are in there, guys. Go to Holy Spirit. Go to God. Spend time with the gardener. Get the rocks and weeds out. Manifest. Do it in your business. Do it in your church. Do it in your relationships. Do it in your own life. Do it in your family. Do it for your mother. What do you want to see? What do you want to see grow in other people? Start planting that stuff. Start planting that in other people. Man, you're such a good son. Like, you just bring me so much joy. I'm so proud of you. Seed, 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 seed. Right? It's crazy. Jesus, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we're starting to grasp it. God, I just thank you that even if we don't understand all the mystery and all the technical stuff, you're good and we trust you. And so, Jesus, we just thank you that our hearts, no one's hearts are hidden from you, God, but our hearts are open before you. Proverbs talks about how you're the master of hearts, Lord. And if there's areas of our own hearts that we don't even know what the heck to do, we don't even know if there's weeds or rocks or if it's hard, God, we thank you that you are the good father, you are the gardener, you are the one who loves our soul, Jesus, and you know exactly how to prepare our hearts to manifest. And I thank you we just trust you in this process, God, and that this whole thing isn't apart from you. This is not outside of you, God, but that you want to co-labor with us so we can bring in an amazing harvest in our own lives. And so, Jesus, we just praise you today. We praise you for the creation of mothers, and that mothers get to share in creation with God. Isn't that cool? He likes to share, guys. So we thank you for that, Jesus. Let me just honor them today. In Jesus' name, amen.